You might like to turn in your Bible to Hebrews and chapter 10. And in Hebrews, and looking at chapter 10, as we're coming to the end, as it were, and God is reminding us that God did something wonderful for us in giving us physical birth. Not only did he give us physical birth, and then we live in this environment with all of its ups and downs and its benefits, but God has made it possible for us to have a spiritual birth. And as we have mother and father and all of that to grow up in a physical birth, God has given himself for us to grow up in spiritual birth. And the Lord Jesus Christ made all of that possible by his death on the cross, which is the door, he's the door to the pasture. And the book of Hebrews is about the wonderful pasture. All of the blessings, because you can say Christ died on the cross, and people just limit it to that. Christ died on the cross for us, and thank you. That's just the doorway. Christ died on the cross to give us a wonderful exercise in our relationship to God in a very personal way. And the book of Hebrews wants the believing heart not to miss out, not to lose out on that relationship. So the book of Hebrews. Now, and therefore when we were in chapter 10 and the warnings are there, very sober warnings to tell us of the seriousness of it. And you and I, and we have to be reminded, well, that's where communion comes in, we have to be reminded that it isn't some take it or leave it, like it or not like it. It isn't that kind of thing. It cost God his awesome, cost God himself, he had to go to the cross. So it's not a light thing. It's a rather eternal, serious thing. Eternal, serious. No game. We treat it as a game, which lightly. We don't mean that. People do. We don't mean to do that, but we do it, because we don't understand. God is right now, here we are in his presence. God is right now seeking to do exceeding beyond all that we could ask or think for us. He's concentrating, which he can, his whole heart, think of Wednesday, his whole heart is involved. So it's not a light thing. We tend to make it light. We can take it or leave it, you know, but it isn't that way to God. So therefore, the warnings, serious, sober warnings, and down in verse 36, I'll read verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, great payment. So don't back down, back off, back away. Judaism was there at the time still, as you know, with the temple still standing. And all of that was there so that you could be conservative, liberal, whatever you want, serious, unserious, involved, not involved. You have your choice, but you really don't have a choice. God said, it's impossible if you don't do this. You're going to miss out. Now, so therefore, verse 36, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So God has a wonderful reward payment. If you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. So when we come to verse 36, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. And then as you read in verse 30, need, N-E-E-D, N-E-E-D means that which is lacking, that which is useful, that which is advantageous, that which is necessary. You have need. You have need. What do you have need of? You have need of patience. You don't need the Father's attention. You already have God the Father's attention. You already have that. And you know that from Matthew chapter 6. You have no need, as the heathen do, unsaved people, to hear God, to find God, you don't have to do that. Your Father knoweth the need you have before you ask or think. But you do have a need. You do have a need. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And patience has to do with the little word under something, and then the word to abide, like the branch abides in the vine, to abide under, the load, whatever it is you're carrying, moving, enduring, abiding. You're doing, and you have to endure under the load. After you have done the will of God, you need to wait and receive the promise. You have to endure. You have to be under the load. You have to be in the game. You can't be out of the game. You can't be in and out of the stadium. You got to be in the game, the whole game. That's the point. You can't be in and out, off and on. You'll never get there like you should. You have need of patience, bearing up under the load, carrying the load, caring and carrying the load, enduring. You keep on carrying the load. That's what you do. And I think of different illustrations that I've seen and observed in Navy SEALs in training, watching them, and coming up with their boat and everything over the rocks, and you come over the rocks, and then they do so many push-ups on the sand, and then they go in and out of the water, and then out of the water they go roll in the sand, get all covered with push-ups, roll in the sand, get all covered with sand, run down into water and get all washed off, come back out of the water, go do your push-ups, roll in the sand, back down into the water, and then you'll all line up in the boat that you brought over the rocks, you had to carry it over, and then you go, and each one takes their place and carries that boat all the way back, I don't know how far, way back. You carry the boat all the way back to where you started. That's what you do. That's one exercise. And watch that. I thought of that. They get their shoulder under it, and they carry that boat. Wow. You got to carry the load. You need to hang in there and bring the boat back to safety, as it were. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, so you have need of patience, bearing up under the load. So in exercising that just a little bit, just to remind yourself, what do you mean when you have need of bearing up under the load? Okay, and that's going to show itself enduring, remaining under the load, and that's going to show itself in all kinds of different ways. And to tie that, we're living in a day, to emphasize, we're living in a day here at the end of the age, before our Lord comes, Revelation chapter 3. So you can see the need of patience. And you'll notice, you know it already, Revelation chapter 3 of Laodicea. And you'll pick up, please, if I can, in verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, either for me or against me, don't be middle. I will spew thee, vomit thee out of my mouth. Because, what's the problem? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have, stop, N-E-E-D, need of nothing. I told you have needed nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, so keeping that in mind, there's a real need, and we have a need, and my God shall supply all your need. Having said that, and remaining unto the Lord, and thinking of all those things, picking up if I can, to see it bearing up under the load. Over to James. A little different, just to see the relevancy personally in your life. Where do I need to bear up under the load? How does that work in my life? What load, right? What load is there, you know? Load of laundry, what is it? Over in James and in chapter 1, you'll recall, if I can, picking up please, in James and chapter 1, verse 2, James 1 and in verse 2, picking up if I can, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, testings. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, and that's the faith, the little word the, you won't see it in the English, the, one is without the, that not specific, that's to have faith, personal, subjective faith, that kind of thing. When you put a the in front of it, you're talking about what is the faith, that which you believe. That which is to be believed. That's what we're looking at. The faith. In verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of the faith, that which you're believing, worketh patience. Because you believe something and you rest in it. You believe the pew, you rest in the pew. And you stay in the pew. You're patiently enduring in the pew to get to the location, to get to the where you're going. You have need of patience. But, verse 4, let patience, bearing up under the load, have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Nothing. The result, you're looking, here's all the word of God to be believed. We're to be believing the Word of God as believers believing the Word of God. And as they believe the Word of God, and they patiently believe, enduring, and they what they read yesterday and believed, today they acknowledge and add to it and believe. You keep believing. Well, you're believing all that God has said in His Word. You keep believing. You endure. As you do that, it produces a wonderful completeness, perfectness, wholeness. Now, having said that you may be entire, wanting nothing, and it results with good results. To see the word in the same section, over to James in chapter 5, and God gives an example. And in James chapter 5, picking up, if I can, in verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience bearing up under the load. In other words, read the prophets, and what do? They weren't well received. They were persecuted, and some killed, and whatever. All of those things. And they did the job all the way to the end, like Jeremiah, all the way to the end. In particular, verse 11, But we count them happy which endured. You have heard of the patience bearing up under the load of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy. Job, and God bore Job. Job hung in there. You would say he shouldn't, and then you get all the 42 chapters for God to tell you about the man who endured. He, under the load, each thing that happened, each day went by, he hung in there. That's what he did. And did God reward him, as in back in Hebrews 10? God rewarded him and doubled everything. Doubled it. Took it away, and then he doubled it. Just like that. Nothing to it. Now, having said that, if I can, back over if I can. To Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. And that's the trouble. So here's the Thessalonians, like the believers in Jerusalem, persecution, it's not an easy time. And in the process, 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 4. Well, I'll read verse 3, a little context. We are bound to thank God always for you. Why is that? Brethren, as it is meet or fitting, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. The little word the is in front of faith. You won't see it in your English. I'll read it now with that in mind. As it is meet, because that your believing God's word, your belief, your resting, your prolonging, your hanging in there, your belief, it groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Verse 4, so that, because you keep believing God's word, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God. Why? What is the example of the Thessalonians? For your patience bearing up under the load, and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You're hanging in there. You got to believe God's word. You keep believing God. You keep abiding, resting. That's a believing active verb. You're resting down on God's wonderful person and work, and you stay there. And you keep going. Week after week, day after day, condition after condition, no matter how, no matter who, no matter what, you keep hanging in there, no matter how it works. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, back over to Hebrews. So patience, patience. You got to have patience. God gives a reward for it. Yeah. And while you're in Hebrews, let me do that one. Chapter 6, remember you're comparing often the warning section and the encouragement that goes with it. And Hebrews chapter 6, picking up in thought, in verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and of things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak like we do. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You're going to keep hanging in there all the way to the end. Verse 12, that ye be not slothful, lazy, etc., but followers of them who through patience and faith and patience bearing them under the load inherit the promises. Back to Hebrews 10, the same thing. You hang in there. That's how you get it. Hang in there. And to tie that together, chapter 12. And in chapter 12, you'll recall, as it's going to say, tell us, chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing you, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run. How are we going to run? With patience, enduring. How do you run? You pace yourself, may get a second wind or whatever, and you run. And you just pace yourself to run. Run. So let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And there it is. So God, you've given your word so that we could be understanding. We're to be believing what you say. Understanding comes in due season. And we're continuing to believe anyway what you say, because that's what we're to do. You said it, and you can't lie. So we're going to be believing. And when we're believing, you're going to go and take, as we believe your word, you're going to grant us encouragement. So, and you're going to comfort our hearts to keep on believing, to keep on bearing up under the load, to keep on doing it. Romans chapter 15. Then in Romans in chapter 15, picking up, you know it, I'm just putting it all together. Chapter 15, verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, Old Testament, were written for our learning, like Job, etc., that we through patience, by means of bearing up under the load. You can't put the load down and go take a vacation in that sense. You got to be believing, a believer, believer. A believer is believing all the way to the end, looking to God. We're written for our learning, that we through patience, bearing up under the load, and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And hope is what stimulates us to go to the next minute, the next hour, the next day. Hope, the expectancy of moving, going forward to finish the course. We hope, if you're sick, you hope you get what? Better. Don't you, sick? Don't you hope for the, you're hoping. What do you hope? I hope I get better. See. If you're in work, aren't you hoping to get your paycheck? You finish work, you hope to get your paycheck, don't you? You don't give your paycheck every day. You go get your paycheck. You hope. Hope. That's what's going to happen. The scriptures give us, that's why we're reading them. That's why I want to be, you got it all. James and Hebrews and Thessalonians, it's all saying, you got to be patient. Verse 5. Now, the God of patience, he's patient. God is bears up under the load in his wonderful character and commitment as in his nature of being. God, the God of patience and consolation, comfort, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That's what you're going to practice. Hang in there. Believe. You've got to keep believing. That's what you do. You feel sick, you want to get better, you believe. You're looking. You just keep going down the corridor, believing. That's what you do. That's what God's asked us to do. Now hang on to all that. Over, if I can, back over to Hebrews. And Hebrews. And in chapter 10, verse 36. And you will notice, you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So I'm looking for God's wonderful promise, the reality of all that God has in mind, and I'm looking for that. So God, you have to help us in understanding and what we're doing. We're looking, God, for you to do what we cannot do. And in verse 36, for we have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So God has a wonderful, wonderful promise. And the promise has to do, back up with the reward, the end of verse 35, you have need of God, which hath great recompense, a reward, a payment. God has promised you it's going to pay off for you to hang in there, bearing up under the load. It'll pay well. Pay well. And you can't get paid till afterwards. You can't get paid. You can't get the prize of crossing the line before you cross the line. You want to finish what I told you to do. Using a silly illustration, empty the wastebasket. Don't take the wastebasket and put it somewhere and then later think about emptying it in the barrel or wherever you do. Empty the wastebasket. You have done what I've asked when you put the content into the barrel. You haven't done the job yet. Finish it. Finish it. Finish it. Now I got finished. God, we got to finish. My mind just slipped. Over forward to Timothy. 1 Timothy, hold your finger here. I just thought of it, finish. Because after all, that's what it's about, finishing. And you will know, please, 2 Timothy chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 6, Paul's ready to pass on. Nero's going to take his head, etc. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. I finished. I'm done. Jacob could say way back, as he put his feet up and died, I finished. I finished my journey. Paul said, I'm all finished. Nero, here's my head. You can have my head. You can't have my heart. You can't have my heart. You can't have me. You can only take my head. You can welcome to it. Now, in the light of that, so it just has to be finished, finished, finished. Back over to Hebrews. We need to finish, finish the race, finish. And 4, verse 37. 4. Now, because, reason, that you need patience. 4, for yet a little while, and he shall come that will come, and he will not tarry. Now, this is sort of, you need to get a little help. You won't see it in the English. You won't see it. But the reason, the cause, for reason, cause. You're hanging in there. You're hanging in there. You're bearing up under the load. The pressure's on. And you're going to hang in there. And you're determined to run the race all the way to the finish line. And as you're doing that, you might say to yourself, how long do I have to do this? So God, always ahead in this thinking for us, verse 37, you have need for the reason you're going to hang in there, for the promise. You have need for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. The word little is the word micron. And micron is a millionth of a meter. It's a millionth of a meter. A meter is 3.3 feet, approximately, 3.3 feet. So in order to get that, I'm going to use your imagination if you can. Here's a yardstick. And here's the yardstick. You know what a yardstick is to measure things. Here's the yardstick. And you're going to take, that's the yardstick, and add 3.3 inches or something, and you'll have a meter. And so here's the yardstick illustration. And here's the yardstick. Now, what am I going to do? God said, it's a micron. Reason, you're hanging in there. How long do I have to hang in there? A micron. A meter. A millionth of a meter. So now I'm going to take my yardstick so you can see it, and I'm going to slice it, not to 1,000 pieces. You have to understand this is 3 feet something long. If I slice this into 1,000,000 pieces, do you know how small the last piece is going to be? It's little, isn't it? Do it at home when you have nothing to do. Go home and do it. And it'd be a good exercise for you. And if you could, you don't even have the equipment to do it, let alone anything else. So here's the millionth of a meter. Got that part, right? Now, God, you're going to encourage us a bit. Yeah. So the next two little words, you'll see a little while. So that's two little words. The same words that together. And they, to say it in one word, each word means how long, time, it has to do with time, how much time. So, I'll read it now, watch. For you have need, verse 37, you have for yet a little while, a millionth of a meter, a millionth of a meter, and then a little meter. How much? A millionth of a meter. How much? How long? How long? And I say it twice. How much? How much? How long? How long? How long? How long? That's what I'm saying. God said, listen, a millionth of a meter. And we say, how long? How long? Quickly. He said, a millionth of a meter. How long? How much? How much? How much? How much? Quickly. Quickly. Now that's fast. And you know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and that, what do you know? You know the Lord's going to come and change us in the moment. In the moment. And so God, now has put the two together. God said, I'm coming, any minute, a millionth of a meter, I'm coming. That's how long it's going to take me before I come. Because God doesn't go by time. You and I go by time. God doesn't go by time. And in order for you to get that, you're going to have to go to heaven for about 10 minutes. Which there are no 10 minutes. And you'll understand there is no time. Do you know what it is to have no time? There is no such thing as time. You got that? How do you talk about that? There is no time. How long? Just like that. And not only how long is it going to be, and in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to change you. I'm going to take you in the splitting of an atom. How long does it take to split an atom? See, is that fast? A splitting of an atom. I'm going to take you that fast and change you. So if you're thinking of having a debate and talk about things while you're being changed, forget it. Forget it. Not going to happen. God, how are you encouraging the believers? Hang in there. Be patient. Bear up under the load. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. He'll come in a micron. Micron. In the millionth of a meter. How fast is it going to come? How little, how little, how, I'll say it a different way to help you. Micron, little, the word little. And then add to in your little mind, because it's there. How little? Look in verse 37. Yet a little, and then how little, how little. How little is little? How little? Say, look at God. And God said, I'm coming. And little. And you need to be encouraged with that. Now, Peter was encouraged. The Apostle John is encouraged. And God even tells him that he could come before John ever dies. In writing Revelation, he could come. Wow. He could come. Very little, very little. And now, in the light of that, in sliding down to verse 38, now, the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So you don't want to be drawing back, going backwards. The just shall live by faith. Now, in order to capture that in a little different way, go over to the book of Habakkuk and remind yourself. And remember, in Habakkuk, he's living in the days of Jeremiah and same period of history, all of them. And in the process, looking at Jerusalem ultimately. Now, so Habakkuk, what are you saying? Habakkuk has a question. God is certainly going to judge Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. So therefore, and he has no problem with that. And he says, chapter 1 and verse 3, Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me. I'm looking out there. Here's Nebuchadnezzar ultimately coming before me. And there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore, the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, and therefore wrong judgment prevaileth, proceedeth. Verse 5. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, and wouldst marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And God's going to do a wonderful thing in the judgment of Israel. Now that's one. I got that. God, you're going to do that. But then the next question, how is he going to do it? He's going to do it by the Chaldeans. And you'll notice that in verse 6. For lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar, etc. Sliding over, if I can, sliding over to chapter 5, and sliding along, without reading it all, 5 through 11, what's he going to do? He's going to take the Chaldeans. The question is, the Chaldeans. Now, my next question, if I was Habakkuk, he's asking, how can you take Israel certainly needs to be judged. But to take Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldeans, they're worse. They're worse than Jerusalem. They're worse than the Jew. How can you do that, God? That's the question. You're going to take the Chaldeans. That's the instrument God's going to use to judge them, by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, how can you do that? That's the background. Over, if I can, in chapter 2. And to Job's, to Habakkuk's going to look. He's looking for some answers. He's looking for some answers. Verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I will answer when I am reproved. In other words, I'm going to, God, I want you to help me. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets, that he may run that readeth it. In other words, the good news, the wonderful news, God is coming, God is going to come, the Messiah is coming, everything is going to work out. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. What did we just read? Well, let me keep reading. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So here we are, and how are you supposed to do that, Habakkuk? God is going to have, like in Jeremiah we're looking at, God has a wonderful, wonderful kingdom, future for Israel, etc. Verse 4, behold, His soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. The unsaved aren't understanding. They don't want to understand. But the just shall live by faith. You're going to be trusting God to outwork this in his time. Give them a vision. Encourage their heart. God is going to work out history. Back over to Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 10, God's wonderfully going to work out history. So when we just read what we read, you're going to look to God yet a little while, and he shall come that will come and will not tarry. And here's the same wonderful truth. The just, verse 38, shall live by faith. How is Habakkuk going to handle it? How is everybody up until the Lord comes, second coming? They're going to have to trust God that he will not tarry. He's coming at the right time. And therefore, the just shall live by faith. That's what they're going to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Verse 38, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. The result is, if you draw back, you go backwards, not forwards. You're looking for my coming. Patience, bearing up under the load, not putting the load down and going somewhere, resting or doing something different. You keep under the load. You're a believer. Work, home, family, friends, coming, going. You're a believer. When do you stop? When does the believer stop believing? That's my question. When does the believer stop believing? My family, my friends, my home, my work. No. When do you stop believing? You don't. Therefore, the just shall live by faith. My soul, and all the warnings in Hebrews, my soul shall have no pleasure if you go backwards. And we'll try to catch it tonight a little bit. Going forward, well, even boy, so much. Going forward, but we don't connect. Illustration, Jude. Grand illustration. If anyone, you want to know what it is, how close can you get to God and never get there? Jude. For 3 1/3 years, he did the miracles even, but he never got saved. I'll go to church, I do everything, we do everything, but you're not saved. How close can we get to God, you see? You can get pretty close, but never enough. We've been doing that. That's apostasy. That's what we're looking at. Now, having said that, but, contrast, we are not of them. We are not of them. And the word in verse 38, draw back. We are not at verse 39, but we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, judgment, ruin. We're not that kind. We're believers. You can't be unsaved. You can't be that. And just all the wonderful things you're going to read. Oh, look it over. Oh boy, I believe. But to them that believe, we're believers. To them that believe, to the saving of the soul. God, what did you say all the time? You gave us this awesome warning, but then you tell us, using Hebrews chapter 2, all the way through the book of Hebrews. What did you say every time, God? You gave us the warnings. And then you gave us a pat on the back and an encouragement to go forward. And you said, but you aren't like them. You aren't like them. You're believers. Believers have to be believing. They're supposed to be believing. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape, we, the believing, the writer, the believers, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God, how are we going to escape? We can't. And as you keep reading all the way through, wonderfully, look at over in chapter 2 and in verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For reason. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all in one. God in Christ separates God. God the Son is sanctified, and you are, John 17, and you are sanctified. God the Father sees his Son set apart, sanctified. He sees you sanctified. We're called, and thus, since we're of the same page, we're this unique oneness. God said, I'm persuaded of better things of you because you can't do that. You don't understand, you're saved. What is it? Verse 11. For both he that standeth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them, what, dear friend? A brethren. See? And the Lord Jesus said in John 12, remember, Matthew 12, he put his hand out and said, and they said, well, your mother and the half brothers and sisters are out there wanting to talk to you. And the Lord Jesus didn't answer them. He swung his hand around and said, who is my mother and my brother and my sister? You, whosoever doeth the will of God, you are my brethren. What have you got in verse 11? I'm going to call them brethren. So we're going to turn chapter 3, verse 1, 3 and 1. Wherefore, holy, what? Brethren. Holy brethren. I'm persuaded better things. You aren't like that. No. So the book of Hebrews is helping to stimulate, awaken us. It isn't to play a game with words of theology. It's to enjoy God's wonderful saving grace in a wonderful saving way. And that's what we're to get. And we ought to be persuaded. The just shall live by faith. And that's why, what is the next chapter all about? Faith. A whole chapter about faith. Do you understand? Do you want to please God? Well,